Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today we're kicking off our annual Year in Music special. All this week, we're going to recap the best and worst of 2013. We'll talk about the hits that are built to last and a few that are not. And every day, we're going to listen back to some favorite live performances in our studio from the past year. So later in the show, we'll hear from Laura Mvula, Parquet Courts, and more. We've also got Soundcheck's musical gift guide for this holiday season, and in a moment, a top five from J. Edward Keyes of eMusic. But first, end-of-the-year lists are all the rage in December, so I've created one, too. It's called... Everybody wants to rule the world. My Top 10 Reasons Why New York Music Ruled the World in 2013. All right, now it may seem odd to trumpet New York's musical clout in a year when New York's big names did not rise to the occasion. Both Jay-Z and Lady Gaga released albums, but neither turned out to be the juggernaut that fans were expecting. The best hip-hop seemed to come from Atlanta, although Run the Jewels is actually an Atlanta-Brooklyn collaboration. Anyway, Atlanta, Detroit, Southern California, and the best pop came from even further afield, with the New Zealand teenager Lorde leading an international pack. But New York music still ruled the world in 2013, and this week I'm going to give you 10 reasons why. Starting with number 10, Sun Lux. Sun Lux is the work of composer and singer Ryan Lott, and he is part of one of New York's most amazing music scenes, that group of young musicians who are classically trained, but who work just as easily in the world of pop and rock. Listen to the combination of orchestral writing and thumping rock energy in this song from his 2013 album, Lanterns. That's called Ransom from the 2013 album Lanterns by the New York artist Sun Lux. Reason number 9 coming up later in the show in my top 10 reasons why New York music ruled the world in 2013. But right now, let's turn to an expert. Joining us with his look back at the best of the year in music is J. Edward Keyes, editor-in-chief of eMusic. Joe, good to see you again.
Thanks, good to be back.
So you've brought us some songs from your top five albums of the year. What kind of year was this for music?
It was a really interesting one, kind of on two fronts. I feel like as I was looking back over the course of the year, if I had to characterize it, I would probably use the word panic. I feel like as the market starts to collapse and genres start to shift, what's been fascinating is watching artists try anything and everything to get people's attention, a lot of times being very successful. Mm-hmm. So I think two of the things that we really saw over the course of the last year were genres becoming even more diffuse, right, and artists, established artists, seeming to be more willing to take more risks and try more things. And also from a purely sales perspective, people really going out on a limb and trying novel sales approaches. Everything as new as, say, dropping a surprise pop album at midnight and
things
Beyonce
like that. Yeah, as Beyonce has done. So Panic actually can produce some pretty good music, it sounds like.
I think so, too. I mean, if you look at one of the year's biggest selling releases, which is the Justin Timberlake record, for better or for worse, that is not a record that's crammed with pop singles. It's crammed with 7.5 minute lazy sounding R&B songs that stretch out forever.
But is that a result of panic on someone's part?
I think it's more a result of a realization that the old ways weren't working and being fine with that and accepting it and sort of stretching out and being willing to try new things and experiment a little bit more.
All right. So now you're talking about, you know, the genres blurring, the distinctions becoming even more indistinct as time goes by. And the album we're going to start with might be a pretty good example of that.
I think so, yeah.
Kanye West, Yeezus.
One of the things that I thought was so bold about this record, and to say out of the gate, this record has some problems as well. I mean, lyrically, there are some very problematic things, particularly as it relates to gender issues and sexual politics. Sonically, I think this record is incredibly brave. It's the first time an artist of Kanye's stature really is taking a large step forward and is trying to define the conversation and say, this is what pop music should sound like. It's really abrasive. You have lots of really harsh synths. It reminds me a lot of the industrial music that was coming out of Chicago in the late 80s. It very proudly has no cover art, no clear single. And it's really him throwing down the gauntlet and trying to make a record that's true to what it sounds like in his head, for better or for worse.
Well, let's hear the song Black Skinhead from Kanye West and the album Yeezus.
King Kong, middle America packed in. Can't they see me in my black skin? Number one question they asking. Be question you asking. If I don't get ran at my Catholics, it comes to conservative Baptists. Claiming I'm overreacting like the black kids in Chirac, bitch. Four in the morning, and I'm zoning. They say I'm possessed.
That is Kanye West from the album Yeezus and a little bit of the song Black Skinhead, which is on J. Edward Key's list of the best new music of 2013. Joe is editor-in-chief at eMusic and joins us occasionally on Soundcheck. It's on your list. I've seen it on a number of other lists. And then there are other people who just – I mean, this is still a very divisive record, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It seems pretty polarizing. And as you say, for as many lists as I've seen it on, I've seen a lot of people feeling like it's a case of the emperor's new clothes. I personally don't. I really admire the audaciousness and how he stripped everything down and made it so minimal and was willing to be so abrasive and not worry about having a pop crossover hit.
And that dark and industrial sound certainly makes this stand out from a lot of his peers. Who else, though? Let's talk about The Knife.
Funnily enough, on eMusic's Best of the Year, The Knife is our number one record of the year, and Kanye is number two. And I feel like, in a way, they're sort of a similar piece. The Knife record also is, I think, sonically even braver than the Kanye record. Just as harsh, just as industrial sounding, where Kanye's record is really focused on racial politics in America. What I love about the Knife record is that it's really focused on economic politics and gender politics in America. I feel like you could put the two of them together and have a really interesting cultural study of 2013.
For folks who are trying to place the Knife, they are from
Sweden. They're a brother and sister team. They had a hit with a song called Heartbeats in 2003. And their initial sound was really – it was a darker shade of electropop, but it was still very listener-friendly.
Right.
This new record is proudly not very listener-friendly. It's – in the center of it, there's a 20-minute drone piece called Old Dreams Waiting to Be Realized. Most of the songs stretch on for 9 or 10 minutes, and it takes a lot of work to get into it. What's fascinating as I started to read about this record was they really wanted the record to be a manifestation of the kinds of political texts they were reading, both lyrically and sonically too. They were trying to figure out ways, how do we apply feminist theory to songwriting? What does that sound like as a song? What does queer theory sound like as a song? And the fact that they went there, I think, is really brave and daring and really audacious.
The song Full of Fire comes from this album from The Knife. Their 2013 record is called Shaking the Habitual.
Questions and the answers can take faith.
Sweden, The Knife, and their album from this year called Shaking the Habitual. That song is called Full of Fire. There's plenty more where that came from, Joe, as you were mentioning. A lot of long songs on this record, long-form thoughts behind it. Speaking of long-form, you guys didn't just, at eMusic, you didn't just do a top 10 list. You did a big kind of look back at the year. In fact, it's called 2013, The Year in Music. Very nice title, the same as our week-long survey. How did you guys, what did you do? How'd you go about it?
Sure. Well, as we started to think about how we wanted to present our end-of-the-year package, you know, we always do a list. We always have a couple of interviews. And one of the things I've been getting really fascinated with is trying to figure out new ways to play with form on the internet and the way editorial is presented. So we ended up partnering with a company who could present this content in really interesting ways. So if you go to emusic.com/best of 2013, you're going to be presented with what look like decks of cards. You can click on each card. The cards will flip over. You can see our entire top 100 of the year. There's sound samples for each. There's links where you can buy them. Then some of the ancillary content. We also have 14 bands to watch in 2014. We have trend spotting, which are essays by really notable music critics on some of the trends that happened this year. And then we have essays with five artists that we thought made really significant artistic or commercial breakthroughs in the past year. So we're really trying to give an all-encompassing look back at the year. There's an app also for iPhone and iPad that you just eMusic Best of 2013. You'll find it, and it is free.
My guest is Joe Keyes from eMusic, editor-in-chief there at eMusic.com, and he's sharing his top five albums of the year with us on Soundcheck today. All right, we've heard Kanye and The Knife, who just happened to also be numbers 2 and 1, respectively, on the eMusic list. Let's go further down your list. Kacey Musgraves, getting a lot of love at the end of this year, it seems.
I have to say, Kacey Musgraves wrote hands down my favorite song of the year, Follow Your Arrow. What I love about Kacey, you know, I feel like a lot of the records that I noticed this as I was kind of putting together the list of songs that I wanted to talk about, the thing that defines them, and it's especially true of this Kacey Musgraves record, is there's a level of iconoclasm to all of them, questioning what can be done within the parameters of music. Kacey Musgraves, operating within contemporary country, which is traditionally a very conservative genre, very right-leaning, her album, Same Trailer, Different Park, is really bold in questioning a lot of what's been accepted in country music to this point.
So Follow Your Arrow is questioning what?
Follow Your Arrow is questioning a lot of things. It's questioning herd mentality. It's questioning conformity. And the boldest thing about it, as far as I can remember, it's the first country song that's openly endorsed gay relationships, gay marriage. And just, you know, one of the final lyrics in the song is say what you think, love who you love. It's a powerful song and is really moving the genre forward.
Let's hear it. Kacey Musgraves and Follow Your Arrow. Kacey Musgraves, taking on a lot of sacred cows in this album called Same Trailer, Different Park, and in this song called Follow Your Arrow. So that was that, Joe, something you were looking for in your list of favorites, or did it just kind of materialize this sense of, as you said, iconoclasm?
Funnily enough, it happened accidentally. After I got the list together and looked at what some of my favorite albums and specifically songs were over the course of the year, I really noticed this characteristic jumping out,
yeah.
which got me thinking about sort of the year in general and how much that was true for a lot of the records that came out.
Up next, Sky Ferreira, a person whose career has... I mean, it is the definition of fits and starts, isn't it?
Absolutely. I love this record so much. Sky Ferreira's background is in modeling. She was a fashion model for a long time. So right away, it evokes this image of prettiness and perfection. A lot of the early demos she did, she worked with John Bryan for a little while. She's had a record deal since forever, and nothing's really ever materialized
right.
from it until this year. You got the sense that she was being groomed to go in a certain direction, and she very defiantly pushed against that, which resulted in this fantastic record which came out this year, which is the absolute definition of unpretty pop music.
Mm. And speaking of unpretty pop imagery, the album cover. I mean, you mentioned that she has a background in modeling. She's topless, but not in a way that's kind of a come-on. In fact, it's kind of a disturbing image almost.
It's really dark. I feel like it mirrors the theme of the records. I mean, the other thing that I feel like it really mirrors is the level of vulnerability at work on this record. When I saw her perform at Pitchfork Festival last year, I was blown away because she broke down crying in the middle of one of the songs, and it didn't seem affected. It didn't seem like a work. She was having a real moment on stage. That kind of fearlessness is throughout this record, and it really grabs at you.
So if people are thinking Fiona Apple or Cat Power, are those comparisons that could be made?
Sort of, but more sonically, far more
no,
abrasive.
But I mean in terms of that kind of emotional
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's hear Sky Ferreira and Heavy Metal Heart from her album from this year called Nighttime, My Time. Sky Ferreira from her album Nighttime, My Time, and the song Heavy Metal Heart. And Joe, I think people can hear what you were talking about, the idea of pop music that's not necessarily pretty. What did she do right this time that got this album finally released on what is a major label after all?
She ended up, after a series of failed sessions with a number of different producers, meeting up with someone named Ariel Rexshade, who's produced a number of great records this year. He did the Haim record. He did the Vampire Weekend record. The reason why he's a great choice for her is he's got pop credentials. He produced the Usher song Climax, but he's also got a lot of really strong indie records. He produced a Cass McCombs record. He produced the Glasser record. So he was the right sensibility, and there's a great piece about him on Grantland right now where he really wanted to draw out what he saw as her more punk rock side. And I feel like they really did that in the studio. A phrase I've been using a lot this year is it's like a lollipop stuck in a lint filter. Like there's a sweet center, but it's got all this fuzziness around it.
All right. Joe Keys has been sharing his top five albums of the year with us on Soundcheck today. We mentioned the eMusic website, looking back at 2013, the best of the year in music. There is a section of that website called Hidden Gems, which is also the name of something we're doing later this week in our look back as well. Those things that you love, but you want to make sure that they're not completely missed out on it at all the end of the year hullabaloo. Give us your hidden gem for 2013.
Bedwet and Bad Boys. I love the Bedwet and Bad Boys so much.
Who are these people?
They're a band from Australia. One of the members of the band, Nick Warnock, runs a label in Australia called RIP Society. They are an excellent label, and I would strongly recommend everyone checking them out. They put out a band called Royal Headache last year that got a bit of attention as well. Mm-hmm. Everything on RIP Society is great. Well, this is his band. They're called Bedwet and Bad Boys.
Of course they are.
And it's like a drunker version of The Faces. It's really proudly messy and sloppy. Great kind of bar rock with like passing attention to detail, but if it gets there, it's not that big a deal. And that, I love stuff that's so sloppy like that, and this really delivers on that.
All right, this is Joe Key's hidden gem for this year. Joe, happy holidays, see you in the new year.
Likewise, thanks, John.
That's the Bedwetting Bad Boys and the song Bite My Tongue, one of Joe Key's picks for Best of the Year. Coming up, you're running out of time to do holiday shopping, but don't worry, we got you covered with Soundcheck's 2013 Musical Gift Guide. That's next. And later, favorite performances from the studio this year. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Holiday shopping can be very stressful, but if you're in a gift-giving bind this holiday season, don't worry. We here at Soundcheck have put together a musical gift guide of albums from the past year. Many of them actually picked by our producer, Katie Bishop, who joins me here in the studio. Hi, Katie.
Hello, John.
Why is music the perfect gift for the holidays?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. One, very entertaining. Probably will provide at least an hour of entertainment, mm-hmm. right? Another reason, not too expensive. Maybe $15, $16 at the most. Also, very easy to wrap. Even if you have limited wrapping skills, just one little rectangle, you're done.
Now, you know, Joe Keyes was talking about some of the best releases that he's found in the past year. And obviously, he had to put a lot of thought into that. You can't just, like, wander into a record store, assuming you can find one these days, and just pick random stuff.
You can. Might not go that well, though.
Okay.
So we've put a little bit of thought into this. I would encourage any listeners out there to put their own thought in as well. But we have a jumping off point, if you will.
Okay. Now, I want to say off the bat that our full 2013 album gift guide is at soundcheck.org. But let's start, Katie, with some pretty obvious questions. First of all, Dad, what's the perfect musical gift for Dad?
If it's like my dad, he has a very particular taste. He knows what he likes. I'm probably not going to change that anytime soon.
Sounds like anybody's dad.
Yeah, right. So for my dad, or if you've got a dad like this, I'm going to say John Fogerty's Wrote a Song for Everyone. This came out this year. Obviously, John Fogerty of Creedence Clearwater Revival, a legend.
Mm-hmm.
And this album is sort of a revisiting of most of his classic songs. Also, a couple of new ones in there, but they don't sound new. They sound like classic John Fogerty songs. And it features duets with some younger artists as well. So maybe, you know, a gateway into opening your father's mind slightly.
So John Fogerty's album, Wrote a Song for Everyone. He performs, as you say, duets with lots of people, including My Morning Jacket.
Yes.
On this song called As Long As I Can See the Light.
Yes, I've got that old traveling bone. 'Cause it feels it won't leave me alone, alone, alone. But I won't be losing my way long. Long as I see the light. Yeah, yeah.
All right, I see what you're doing there, Katie. You know, Dad thinks he's suddenly back in 1970, 40-some-odd years ago, but you're slipping a little My Morning Jacket in there.
Exactly. Tricky.
John Fogerty with My Morning Jacket and As Long As I Can See the Light, duet re-recording of that old song from John Fogerty's 2013 album, Wrote a Song for Everyone. Okay, so Dad's taken care of. What do we get for Mom?
Can I just be real with you for a second, John? Your mom is a grown-up lady, right? Let's stop putting all the moms in this, like, protected corner. Mom deserves good music. And maybe that music this year could be Janelle Monáe. She put out an awesome album called Electric Lady. It's a little grown and sexy. I'm going to put that out there. Also features some people who she might be more familiar with, like Prince, Erykah Badu.
All right. Janelle Monáe, the album's called Electric Lady, and Prince is featured on this song, Give 'Em What They Love. Janelle Monáe, her 2013 record was called Electric Lady. That's called Give 'Em What They Love, which is what soundcheck producer Katie Bishop is suggesting for the holidays. Give 'Em What They Love, the gift of music. So we've taken care of Mom, we've taken care of Dad. Who else?
Let's say you've got a younger sibling. Maybe your parents had a special accident, you know, 15 years ago, and you've got a sibling who's still in high school. Maybe you have a niece or nephew who's in high school. It's a difficult time. Being a teenager is tough. So the album that I would pick for a sullen, sulky, hates everyone teenager would be this record that came out this year from Speedy Ortiz called Major Arcana. It's got a lot of angry guitars and, you know, it's something you can thrash around to. But maybe it'll inspire your sulky preteen or teen to get off the couch, go start a band, you know, something like that.
They impressed us when they played live in the studio.
Excellent.
Speedy Ortiz, the album Major Arcana, the song is Cash Cab. Ortiz, Cash Cabs from their album Major Arcana. So if you're looking for that special gift for the person who hates everyone, that's it. All right. So what about for that special someone in your life, for your spouse?
Right. Let's talk about a long-term relationship first. For me, this is something you really should think about hard for yourself. However, if you're looking for inspiration, I would pick the new Inside Llewyn Davis soundtrack. This is a beautiful album. You know, it includes music from the lead character, Oscar Isaac, also people like Marcus Mumford and the Punch Brothers.
And it's the same group, the Coen Brothers and producer T-Bone Burnett, who had such a major surprise hit with Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Right.
Inside Llewyn Davis, the original soundtrack recording. Here, Oscar Isaac, who's the star of the film, and Marcus Mumford from Mumford & Sons perform Fare Thee Well.
If I had wings like Noah's dove, I'd fly the river to the one I love. Oh, fare thee well, my honey, fare thee well. Well, I had a man, strong and tall. Moved his body like a cannonball. Oh, fare thee well, my honey, fare thee well.
one evening in the pouring rain, and in my heart was an aching pain. Oh, fare thee well,
is the soundtrack to the film Inside Llewyn Davis, the Coen Brothers movie. T-Bone Burnett producing the soundtrack record, and Katie Bishop, soundcheck producer, suggesting that as a great musical gift this Christmas season. That could go to anybody. That's such a great sound.
It's a crowd pleaser.
Even more musical gift suggestions in our 2013 album gift guide at soundcheck.org, which Katie has put together. I want to ask you about The Dream. Foreplay, IV, the Roman mm-hmm. numeral four. Who is this for?
Well, I think this could be for someone you want to get to know a little better. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
There's no winking or nudging if you're giving somebody an album called Foreplay.
Yeah, you're right. And also, if you're going to wrap this one, make sure you know which one it is. You don't want this ending up with the wrong person. It could be really awkward.
The Dream with Gary Clark Jr., the ace blues guitarist.
On one of the tracks, yeah. He and also Beyonce's on this album, another big name right now. Mm-hmm. It sure is steamy.
All right, so dispense with care. Here's The Dream with Gary Clark Jr. and Too Early.
You're getting all my loving. You gave him all my time. You're leaving me with nothing. Not even a peace of mind. Ooh, babe. Ooh, babe. You give him all my pleasure. You give him all my joy.
That is The Dream and his album Foreplay, that Ooh. Song called Too Early, featuring Gary Clark Jr. All right, so Katie, we've already talked about how music is a great gift because it's inexpensive, but at this point we've bought one for dad, for mom, the spouse, the sullen teenager, here, the special someone or the someone you'd like to be special.
Are you running out of money, John?
Well, I'm beginning to add up those $15 and $16. And yeah.
You're right. You're right. So why don't we come up with a gift that costs nothing? How about
Even
that?
Even better.
So the next suggestion I have for you is Chance the Rapper's mixtape, which was a free download this year, called Acid Rap. People are saying he's the new face of young hip hop. We've talked about him on Soundcheck before. But you can download this album for free right from his website. Maybe burn it to a CD. I don't know. Email it.
Or send a text.
Or send a text. Do that. Sure.
I don't know. All right. But you could buy a blank CD for like a buck or two and
sure.
burn it, I suppose. All right. So Chance the Rapper, from his mixtape called Acid Rap, this is Juice.
Thirsty, thirsty, trying to choose. I mean, I know I'm pretty cool. My nitty bag, my kitty boots. I got the juice, I got the juice.
Chano, Chatham's on. Foolies glad I'm home. Even my haters kinda glad I'm on. Rest in peace to my vagabond. Rapper, song, singer, suspended, subpoena. From misdemeanors, dreamer, held back asses, Loki still a dinner. And I still shake a bow squat. Praying for my broke, got city on the come up. Shot that Sosa. Shot my fat trail, shot my Joseph. Playing Buenos Aires while they sleep in Buenos Noches. Wonder if I wrote.
From Chicago, that is Chance the Rapper with Juice from his mixtape called Acid Rap. So for that someone who isn't quite special enough to spend any money on...
Sometimes you just run out of dollars.
So it's a free download, and we have talked about Chance the Rapper on Soundcheck a couple of times in the past. You know, the wordplay is fantastic. But that's not the version you get with the free.
That's
been cleaned up.
That is not the version. That has been tidied up a bit.
Yeah, just be aware of that. All right, so sort of running out of people here. Oh, I got one. Your intern.
Yes, your intern. Don't forget your intern this holiday season. That would not be nice. I would suggest for an intern, go with one of the best albums of the year, Vampire Weekend's Modern Vampires of the City. This came out early this year. It's ended up on a lot of best album of the year lists. I think a lot of people sort of forgot about it as the year went on, but it's an album that really deals with being young, coming of age, you know, you're in your young 20s, especially in the here and now and the types of issues that you deal with. Mm-hmm. So maybe they'll get some advice from listening to this.
Now, did we get our go-getter intern, Alex, a copy of this?
I think we have a couple more days left. There are 8 days left until we hit Christmas, so.
All right, we'll figure something out. Vampire Weekend, Yahey, from their album Modern Vampires of the City.
Babylon don't love you, but you love everything. Oh, you saint, America don't love you, so I could never love you.
Weekend. Songs called Yahey from their album from earlier this year called Modern Vampires of the City, which also appears on Soundcheck's 2013 Album Gift Guide. Find the full guide on soundcheck.org. Our producer, Katie Bishop, has spent a lot of time putting this together. And I'm so grateful. Here, Katie, I got you something.
Thanks, John. Uh-oh. Shoot, I don't have anything for you. Oh, wait, yes, I do.
Because oh, really?
Because the last selection on our gift guide is exactly what to do in that situation when someone surprises you with a gift and, oh, no, you didn't get them anything. But wait, if you put a wrapped copy of this CD in your bag, you're safe. You're totally covered in that situation. So I would suggest wrapping up a copy of Darcy James Argue's Brooklyn Babylon.
Got it already.
Wow. But I'm betting a lot of you out there don't have it. It's a really interesting concept album that came out this year. It's actually from a couple of years ago, but the album version just came out this year. Darcy James Argue is this incredible band leader and composer based in
17-piece big band.
Huge.
They've
band.
All piled here into our studio in the past.
And so this album has a story. It has like a visual component that I think you can watch online. But, you know, it's a really interesting gift. Maybe people don't have it. Maybe they haven't heard of it. And this is a great way to put it in their hands.
All right. Part of the 2013 Album Gift Guide put together by our producer, Katie Bishop. Find the full list at soundcheck.org. Katie, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Time now for another reason why New York music ruled the world in 2013. That's my year-end wrap-up of all things awesome in Soundcheck's own backyard. Reason number 9, we get knocked down, but we get up again. You'll pardon the old Chumbawamba reference, but 2013 saw the return of both Sharon Jones and Kathleen Hanna from Serious Illness. Hanna was one of the pivotal figures in the Riot Girl movement of the 90s. She lost several years to advanced Lyme disease, but came back this year with a classic punk record with her new band, The Julie Ruin. And Sharon Jones was already one of New York's great musical survivor stories. She was a corrections officer and didn't start making waves with her music until she was in her 50s. But she was diagnosed early this year with cancer. Now she and her irresistible funk band, the Dap Kings, have come back with a new single, and an album will follow shortly.
So if you know what's good for you,
tomorrow, two more reasons why New York music ruled the world in 2013. Up next, all this week, we're picking our favorite live performances in the Soundcheck studio from 2013. The first batch is next. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and all this week we are looking back at the best of 2013, and we're not going to look too far. In fact, I'm not looking any further than this studio where we're sitting right now for some live performances that have caught our ears and our memories in the past 12 months. Let's begin with the British soul singer Laura Mvula, M-V-U-L-A, whose debut album, Sing to the Moon, was a really beautiful and lushly orchestrated bit of retro soul. This song, which she performed live in our studio, is called Father, Father.
Father, Father, let me love you. Saw you wandering in my dream last night, singing, wonder, wonder what you might do. You can't simply hide a dream in the blue. Don't try to fight, don't let me go. You've gone too far from what I know. I lost my heart in the dark with you. Father, Father, bye, let me go. Father, please don't let me go. Brother, brother, let me love you. Whisper all your deepest fears. You can trust me, and when it's over, we can be green. Finally, let's make amends. Try to save it. Don't try to fight, don't let me go. You've gone too far from what I know. I lost my heart in the dark with you. Father, Father, bye, let me go. Father, please don't let me go. Let me love you. 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 Don't try to fight, don't let me go. You've gone too far from what I know. I lost my heart in the dark with you. Father, Father, why let me go, Father? Please don't let me go. Father, Father, why you let me go? Father, please don't let me go. Father, Father, why you let me go?
Father, please don't let me go. Father, Father, why you left
me? From England, that is Laura Mvula and a song called Father, Father, which she performed earlier this year live in our studio with her brother and sister playing the violin and cello, just a little touch of strings towards the end of that performance. We shot video that day. You can see it on our website, soundcheck.org. And in addition to looking back at the best of the year and some of our favorite live performances, we're also in the midst of the 12 Days of Soundcheck, where each weekday up until Christmas Eve, we're offering you a free download of one of these songs from our studios, and on Wednesday, it'll be that song you just heard from Laura Mvula. So go to soundcheck.org on Wednesday to grab a copy. Okay, Canadian singer Jen Grant joined us earlier this year. I have to say I was not familiar with her work, but she did this song, The Fighter, and I made it my business to become familiar with her work. Really terrific song. It is the closest thing to a title track from her latest album, The Beautiful Wild. Here is Jen Grant in another of our favorite live performances from 2013.
Yeah.
The song is called The Fighter, and the album is called The Beautiful Wild, a title that obviously comes from that song, by Jen Grant, Canadian singer, songwriter, guitarist, and bandleader. And another favorite live performance from 2013 here in the Soundcheck studio. Up next, perhaps my favorite punk band of this or many a year, actually, is Brooklyn's Parquet Courts. Originally from Texas, they have become favorites in Brooklyn's very crowded music scene. Early on in the year, they released their album Light Up Gold. Later in the year, they released a second album as well. But from that first record, here is Parquet Courts with a live performance of Borrowed Time. A band that can stop on a dime, repeatedly, it seems. Borrowed Time, a bit of classic New York punk from Brooklyn's own Parquet Courts, recorded live on Soundcheck earlier this year. And all this week, our Year in Music series continues. Tomorrow, we'll have more of our favorite in-studio performances on Soundcheck. I'll unveil two more reasons why New York music ruled the world in 2013. Also tomorrow, the best hype of 2013. Our digital producer Mike Katziff has been monitoring all the breathless press releases, all the YouTube leaks, all the budget-busting marketing campaigns, and the hot new things from 2013, and we'll talk about the music that actually lived up to the hype. Until then, check out our online festival, 12 Days of Soundcheck. Download a free song from a Soundcheck session every weekday through Christmas Eve. Head over to soundcheck.org. Chris Thiele had a big year. We'll let him wrap up this edition of Soundcheck. Chris Thiele did a recording of Bach sonatas and partitas for solo violin on mandolin. He's also a big part of the film Inside Llewyn Davis, or the soundtrack thereof. Here he is, recorded live in our studio with a bit of the Bach Sonata No. 1 in G minor. Chris Thiele, live in our studio, another of our favorite live performances from 2013. More tomorrow. Join us then. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.